Hi, the next 15 minutes is for you, our listener, as Fred Kuhn explores this issue.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Workplace Strategies. My guest today is Barbara Purdom. Barbara has quite a background in the subject of emotional intelligence. And Barbara has an MBA in business administration, HR management, a master's in education and distance learning, a BS in business management. She's an SPHR, and she's an SCP, senior certified professional with SHRM, master black belt in culture change, et cetera, et cetera. And our subject today is EQ versus IQ. So, Barbara, what is emotional intelligence and why is it important?
Hi, Fred. Thanks for having me. Emotional intelligence, from just a very practical standpoint, it's really the awareness and understanding that our emotions are driving behavior and impacts everyone around us, either positively or negatively, every day. While there's a lot of subcomponents that are part of emotional intelligence, it's actually just broken down into two areas. You have your intrapersonal, which is around your self-awareness, your self-management, and even your self-motivation. And you have your interpersonal, and this is dealing with your relationships with others around the relationship management and empathy component. Why it's important is because emotional intelligence skills gives us an ability to learn how to recognize and manage these emotions, our own and others, especially important when we are under stress and other day-to-day pressures in our work or personal life. Building these skills allow you to do things like efficiently collaborate with a focus on inclusion, listening to different thoughts and perspectives, resolving conflict with candor while maintaining some mutual respect, and overall effective communication, just to name a few.
You mentioned that there were two types. There was the outfacing and the in-facing.
Yeah.
In the inward-facing EQ, how does one recognize, is it because you're getting negative feedback from the outward-facing, or how does one go about addressing the internal EQ and assessing whether you have it, where your deficits are, and how to improve those?
Well, so remember that emotional intelligence is really a neuroscience and biophysics. And so you have triggers even before any assessment around self-awareness would come into place. Some of these triggers are definitely physical. This is when you notice that your body temperature starts to rise, right? Or maybe your hands begin to shake, or people's face can become flushed. There's a lot of sensitivities that can go into this to help you with the self-awareness. The thing is to get better at recognizing it before those physical triggers come into place and before the emotional triggers stand out. So there's lots that you can do. There's even assessments, because again, this is neuroscience, right? That can give you a baseline of where you're at, give you a prescription. We talked about the primary two core, as you said, inward and outward facing, but there's many subcomponents underneath each and every one of those that you can grow one step at a time.
It's a fascinating issue because as a recruiter, I look at it and I have the same awareness as you do, as you know, but I'm always curious about why people hire people and they look at the outward and they look at the EQ. Oh, he can do this. He can write this program language, or she can do that. And they don't ask the question, do they play well with others? Do they have that kind of self-awareness that makes them a better team player? And do they know how to work that? And most people don't.
I completely agree. Remember, Peter Drucker was famous for quoting, culture eats strategy for breakfast.
Yes.
And so what you're talking about is what we have witnessed in the workforce, all of us at some point in time, right? So I want you to think about emotional intelligence this way. If culture eats strategy for breakfast, then emotional intelligence has dibs on the lunch, dinner, and snack. Culture is all of our traditions, our customs, and our values that an organization and employees uphold every day. It's really the playbook on how you execute and reinforce cultural values every day.
Tell me how and why did EI, emotional intelligence, become such a key leadership skill?
Well, most often we see leadership promoted. Usually it's because of the testimony of their specific technical background and it stands out. And a company recognizes that as an asset and they want to maximize it. And these employees are promoted into leadership. And the whole purpose is to grow that technical skill across the organization with a leadership purview. What doesn't necessarily come along with that subject matter expertise is the emotional intelligence skill set. Again, that playbook, right? So to move the company forward and to motivate in a way that aligns with day-to-day work climate, reinforcing that culture and strategy. So as organizations realize the importance of collaboration across the entire organization, internally but also externally, having a growth mindset, innovation, eliminating bias, and the overall recognition that really the biggest asset is our employees. So it becomes clear that the leaders who manage with EI skills, they have these stronger outcomes. They're able to increase brand loyalty. They're able to maintain and keep positive relations with the associates through hard crisis and chaos at times in a way that continues and keeps retention and engagement all high and strong.
That's all well and good. But if the leadership at the top does not have the commitment to doing this, how do you instill that in a corporation?
It goes back to the culture and strategy. And we have to do what we say we want and what we mean. So working with the leaders from the top is essential, and no company will win the culture and emotional intelligence and their strategy unless there is buy-in at the top. But more and more leaders are recognizing it. Data, HR data has helped us with that, Fred. When you look at people leaving the companies, our economy is such right now, employees don't have to stay. So you can look at your retention, you can look at your engagement statistics and tell if there's real commitment and buy-in and how we handle those results, right? But seeing the data and actually saying, well, it may not reflect where we want to be yet, but let's recognize where we're at this stage in the journey and how do we get there. So by all means, you're right. It starts at the top.
Let me ask you this as a final closing question here. How can I build, as a business owner, I'll ask this for the business owners that are listening, how can I build a skill set and bring it into practical application within my company?
Great question. I think I would start by familiarizing everyone with Daniel Goleman. Really, Daniel Goleman is the father of emotional intelligence.
Correct.
You can follow him on LinkedIn. He has plenty of books and podcasts and has done a lot to put this at front line and center with organizations and small businesses alike. I'd also recommend that you read the book Emotional Intelligence 2.0. This is an actual coaching book, right? So it's that brass tack, get down to the point, how can you get better for this? I don't want to call it step by step, but it really is a coaching book. It's going to help you gain better skill sets and understand the core principles and the subcomponents and those details behind emotional intelligence, much more so than what we'll get into in this podcast. If you really want to go further, I would say take that baseline assessment, find out where you currently stand and get a prescription of the areas you need to focus on so you can begin to identify your triggers. Emotional intelligence is not a soft skill. There's metrics with data. It's a neuroscience. So again, you can determine where you are, what you need to do to help get into better balance. It's a great way to build your muscle and maintain as you continue to go down your emotional intelligence journey.
Well, Barbara, once again, lots of knowledge and sharing. I'd like to thank you for being a guest today on Workplace Strategies, and I'd like to invite you back for other sessions. Would you be willing?
I would love to, Fred. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for joining us. If you wish to speak with Fred or you want a transcript of this interview, send an email to podcast@stuartcoopercoon.com. See you soon.